AgBio Science is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
At the end of the day, addressing diet-related chronic conditions is good health care, and using food as medicine as a tool to do that is great health care.
Welcome to AgBio Science, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinovis CEO, Mitch Frazier.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. Food, it's the only economy in the world that touches every person on the planet, and it's one that's foundational to human health. So much so that leaders across the economy are uniting the power of food to drive health. It's a new category of innovation called Food as Health or Food as Medicine, and the nation's second largest health insurer, Elevance Health, well, they're investing in this area, and their director of Food as Medicine joins us today. He is Dr. Kofi Essel. Kofi, it is fabulous to see you. Welcome to Ag Bioscience.
Thank you all for having us.
I am eager to dig into this, Kofi, and I think before we go too far, we have to start with the foundation. What is food as medicine or food as health?
The way we define food as medicine is that these are strategies or interventions that are working alongside healthcare, that are giving access to nutritious foods, focused primarily on three things: how do we prevent, how do we manage, and how do we treat disease? So how can we use food as a powerful tool, as a tool that works alongside healthcare to prevent, manage, and treat disease? That is typically the way that people define food as medicine. That's how we at Elevance Health define food as medicine.
This is an area that I know you and I have talked about at length. When we think about food as health, this is an important area of innovation, not just for doing good, but it's also important for Elevance Health. Talk about the sort of two-factor or two-sided role of food as medicine, food as health, why it's so important to Elevance Health.
You can look at a few different things. Let's look at some of the data. When you look at some of the data across the board, we see that poor diet is one of the leading risk factors for premature death. We see that poor diet is a leading risk factor for increasing one's morbidity as well, decreasing one's quality of life. If you look at diseases across the country in U.S. adults, we see that 60% of U.S. adults have at least one chronic condition. 40% of U.S. adults have two or more chronic conditions. So if you look specifically at diet-related chronic conditions, let's say prediabetes or diabetes, we see that one in two adults has prediabetes or diabetes. One in two adults has hypertension. The list goes on, and it's costing our healthcare system a ton of money. At the end of the day, addressing diet-related chronic conditions is good healthcare, and using food as medicine as a tool to do that is great healthcare. Now, I'll take a step back because in my definition of food as medicine, I focus primarily on diet-related chronic conditions. But when you think about food as medicine, there are three major categories that I tend to focus in on: food insecurity, nutrition insecurity, and diet-related chronic conditions, right? And this concept of food and nutrition insecurity is a very important concept that we need to talk about. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to talk about it today. But at the end of the day, we understand that these conditions are quite pervasive throughout the country. And to be able to address diet-related chronic conditions, to be able to address a variety of other chronic conditions, we have to think about the food and nutrition security of households. Because if we're not going to be able to address those conditions very effectively. And at Elevance Health, we recognize what we call whole health. This concept of there are so many other factors that influence health outcomes to an individual than what I say in the four walls of my clinical practice. Although what's happening in those four walls matter and it's very important, the other aspects outside of those four walls, what we sometimes call social drivers of health, where individuals eat, play, pray, where they enjoy their day-to-day lives, these environmental influences oftentimes can greatly influence outcomes for individuals. And we have to keep that in mind when we're putting in place interventions and supports for families to be able to thrive.
Kofi, you talked about food insecurity, I think a topic that many are familiar with. You mentioned nutrition insecurity. This is an area I'd like to spend a little time in. What do you mean about, what exactly do you define as nutrition insecurity, and how does it connect into this food as health concept?
So when we think about food and nutrition insecurity, I want us to think about these as complementary pieces and not separate pieces, right? Like I think sometimes we want to say, oh, let's go beyond food insecurity and think about nutrition insecurity. The reality is no. These are complementary pieces. How do we define food insecurity? When all members in a household don't have a consistent access to enough food to live an active and healthy lifestyle. If all members in a household don't have consistent access to enough food to live an active and healthy lifestyle, we call that food insecurity. For nutrition insecurity, we're thinking about households having equitable access to not only enough food, but to safe, affordable, and nutritious foods to be able to live an active and healthy lifestyle. So not only are we thinking about are people getting enough food, but also the right types of food to be able to live this lifestyle. And that's why it's important to think about these as complementary, because why? When you're talking about addressing food and nutrition insecurity, at the end of the day, people want to make sure that you can meet them where they are to access enough food first before we can start to talk about, hey, are we getting these other types of food, right? This is a really important piece that people want to think about and families think about when we're talking about addressing food and nutrition insecurity.
Super helpful comparison or connection, quality as well as quantity. Quantity has to be first. Quality has to be there. And as you think about this quantity, quality connection, you think about the broad system that's required to create that quality, the quality nutrition, the quality calories. It means that this is a broad coalition, I assume, that you're building from clearly outside of medicine. Medicine is a piece of it. Health insurers are a piece of it, like Elevance Health. But this goes all the way back to the farm gate, the food that's grown and how it gets to retail and how retail gets it to the people. How are you thinking about this connection between quantity and quality, this broader coalition, and how does that connect to not just impact, but business results as well?
That's a loaded question. You know, when we think about food as medicine, we think about this holistically. Like, and when I mention it, everything for us starts within this category of whole health, right? So we're starting from this category of whole health, recognizing all of these other factors that influence health outcomes for individuals. Food insecurity, nutrition insecurity ends up being one of those factors within whole health that we are trying to engage with and address within families to be able to eventually improve health outcomes and decrease costs of care. So when I think of this in a more holistic way, we kind of focus on three main pillars, right? So with our food as medicine strategy, some of what we think about is, number one, how can we implement food as medicine through every single line of business, right? So when we think about quote unquote lines of business, we think about commercial insurance, we think about Medicaid, we think about Medicare. All of these lines of business are incredibly important, but are different, right? They're different populations within each line of business for the most part. And when we think about that, we want to make sure that we're thinking about this holistically, how these things tie together, and at the end of the day, how we can be strategic in engaging food as medicine through every line of business. Number two, the pillar number two that we think about is how we can advance a digital-first approach to food access and education, right? If we want to be reaching multiple corners of the states that we're working within, we have to recognize that some parts of the state and some parts of different, whether urban, suburban, whether rural environments, are going to have more difficulty in accessing foods that they are trying to access to be able to live an active and healthy lifestyle. Digital-first solutions for food access and education can be quite helpful in improving health outcomes as well. And last but not least, we want to think a lot about advocacy. Now, you mentioned all of these other parameters that you have to think about when you're thinking about population health. And yes, as a large payer, we think about population health. And how do we think about that? Through advocacy is one of the ways in which we do that. So the way in which we use advocacy is to improve health system-wide changes to improve health outcomes and to build the awareness of how food plays a role in health. There are a variety of ways that we think about this. We're leaning into public policy, public advocacy, big P and little P, right? Federal and also local. What are we doing within our organization? We're leaning into thought leadership, right? Making sure that it is clear how we can move the needle on this work. A lot of the work that we're doing even is in training the next generation in providers. How can we make sure we're moving that work forward? Because if you don't know, my colleagues haven't always been trained well to incorporate nutrition into the work that they're doing. So if we're not equipping the next generation and the current generation on how to do this, how can we talk about food as medicine if we're not really building a system that knows how to use food as medicine as a tool to improve health outcomes, right? And then we're also talking about how we can partner with amazing world-class community-based organizations, nonprofits, who are doing phenomenal work as well. So we are collaborating, working alongside, recognizing that we can't do all this on our own, and we're not trying to. We recognize the power of the organizations that have been doing this well, and we recognize the importance of working alongside them as well. So to be able to do this well, we think about these three pillars, and we use a variety of different techniques within food as medicine, from medically tailored meals, to medically tailored groceries, to produce prescriptions, to working alongside federal nutrition programs, to population and community level healthy food policies and programs, to even thinking about how we can be strategic in using personalized and empathetic nutrition counseling and education. All of these are different strategies that we use. You mentioned what kind of health outcomes are we thinking about. I mentioned this before, but we want to start with the member. We want to make sure that the member is getting their needs met. So when we think about the member, we want to think about health outcomes actually improving. I hear all the time from patients and families how they're tired of having these conditions ruin their lives. They're tired of getting limbs chopped off. They're tired of having effects of diabetes and hypertension and all these things. Food can be a viable tool to improve health outcomes, to reduce these poor health outcomes that can result from these conditions for prevention, management, and treatment of disease. But not only that, we also think about cost of care as well. We know that the rising cost of healthcare is significant and it's only going upwards. So if we think about food being a tool to improve health outcomes and also cost of care, we want to think about, hey, we have an individual who's just had a significant surgery. They're post-hospitalization. They just left the hospital. They're having difficulty getting to the grocery store. They're having difficulty getting to the kitchen and maybe preparing foods. How can food be used as a tool to prevent malnutrition? How can food be used as a tool to prevent worse health outcomes when you're home by providing things like medically tailored meals that can prevent rehospitalization? Because we know if you get back in the hospital, the chances of your health condition getting worse may be higher. We know that's a significant cost to the family, not only on dollars, but on also, can I get back to work? Can I do the things that I love to do? Take care of my family, enjoy the day-to-day with my friends and my network and my communities. These things are hindered as a result of that. So there are a variety of things that we're doing within that. But at the end of the day, we want to think about improving health outcomes, reducing cost of care, improving equity, improving engagement with the healthcare system. There are a variety of ways that we think about all of these other mechanisms and how food can be used as an authentic tool to improve these outcomes.
I love it. Food as a tool. We're going to take a look at what that looks like in the future and where the evolution will come. We'll do it right after this. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
A healthy company is a blessing, but a well-insured company is a necessity. That's why Indiana Farm Bureau offers more affordable health plans for eligible members. Whether you have just a handful of employees or a larger enterprise, building a stable business demands employees who are just as strong and healthy. Indiana Farm Bureau can help with health plans that include medical, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement insurance plans. And you can sign up for membership and apply for an Indiana Farm Bureau health plan any time of year. Indiana Farm Bureau understands the cost of healthcare has rapidly become one of the largest expenses for many small businesses. We invite you to compare our health plans to your current coverage. We're confident you could find significant savings. To learn more about the health plan that's right for you, visit infbhealthplans.com and make the switch today.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. We're talking with Dr. Kofi Essel, Director of Food as Medicine and Elevance Health. Kofi, you yourself are an incredible story. You are a pediatrician. You've been an educator, just a brilliant leader who said, I'm going to step away from the bedside and really pour my heart, soul, my career into advancing food as medicine. How has your time bedside given you the opportunity, given you the context to really drive change in this food as health era?
I am incredibly grateful. As a community pediatrician for more than 10 years, I have worked with some of the same amazing families that have shared their stories with me. They've shared their hardships with me. They've been vulnerable with me. In the clinical spaces, you're hearing stories that people would never tell anybody else. That vulnerability has allowed me to be able to see and gain insights that have been able to allow me to be an advocate for families around the country in a variety of different ways, really moving forward true population health. I'm grateful for that time. I've been doing this for many years. And, you know, honestly, as a community pediatrician, some may ask the question, you're a pediatrician. What do you know about doing this work at this scale? And the reality is, being a pediatrician has been sort of the supercharge to be able to do this work. What do I mean by that? As a community pediatrician, over the years, I've had the opportunity to work alongside amazing leaders in this space who've been advocates. I would argue that pediatricians are some of the most powerful advocates in this country. Being able to advocate for a voiceless generation, to be able to work with children and families, and then be able to learn how to use those tools and get in front of voices across the board, from schools to local city councils to doing all kinds of amazing things and advocating. This has been a very, very beautiful transition for me to now be able to advocate for over 47 million members around the country, touching over 100 million lives. This has been an amazing opportunity, and it all started on the ground by working alongside amazing families and amazing leaders for many years.
Kofi, I'll tell you, as a dad of two little girls and maybe a more frequent user of the pediatrician's office than we should be as a family, it is amazing. I can't overstate the role that you and your colleagues play, not just taking care of those kiddos, but making sure mom and dad are okay as well. So thank you for your work. Thank you for the context that you bring to this Food is Health era. And you personally, you and the team at Elevance Health, Elevance Foundation, have been a huge partner to Agrinovis. We've worked together on the Hunger Tech Innovation Challenge, where, to your point earlier, how do we use digital to connect that supply and demand that we know is so critical at the quantity level of food security? When you think about digital, Elevance Health has been a leader in digital innovation. The Sydney app is on my phone. You think of this pioneering spirit that you've had in digital. How do you see digital playing a role in this food is health, food is medicine era?
Let me comment on what you said before as well. As a pediatrician or in my training, when I saw your face, parents, grandparents, caretakers, when I saw this opportunity for transformation, right? Working with these sick children and being able to see what happens when they turn around, which was quite often. Being able to see parents light up, being able to see these children light up, it brought so much joy to me, and it's something that I knew I wanted to connect my career to. Being able to influence that next generation, to be able to bring joy to faces of children and families, and that was something that was really powerful. To answer your question, I think it's a great question. I think about digital solutions a ton, and our team thinks about it a ton. We recognize there's a digital divide that exists. We are continuing to support in improving that digital divide in a lot of what we do, but there's such a huge role for digital solutions. When you think about hunger, in particular, we typically can have a picture in our minds of what hunger looks like. Maybe pictures that we've seen from around the world, maybe pictures we've seen from magazines, maybe just sort of an imprint that occurred in our own experiences, our own lived experiences from childhood. But the reality of what hunger looks like, and the way I like to describe it, is hunger is ubiquitous and hunger is invisible. Every single county in this country experiences hunger in its own way. Every single county in this country experiences hunger in a form that's invisible as well. When I started doing this work years ago in clinical practices and encouraging providers around the country to screen for food and nutrition insecurity, what I started to see was that providers would come to me and say, hey, I never realized that hunger exists in these families and to this degree in my clinical setting. Look at what they came in wearing. Look at who they were. Look at how they were dressed. Look at the presentation of who they were. I never imagined that hunger existed like this. The reality of hunger is that it is invisible, it is pervasive, it is ubiquitous, and is very damaging to households far and wide. To be able to engage and address hunger effectively, we have to continue to be innovative in how we do this work, right? Because, you know, expecting the same interventions that we've used for years to improve these outcomes to a way that's transformative, we're going through the process of insanity, doing the same thing, expecting different results. We have to be innovative in what we're doing. bringing in new ideas, bringing in creative ideas, and working alongside teams through this Hunger Tech Challenge has been amazing, because you have this amazing talent from all over coming in, bringing these creative ideas, getting to support their ideas as well, right? Giving them ideas on how they can think about hunger in more innovative ways, giving them ideas on how they can push their efforts more and more. We at Elevance Health have been incredibly, incredibly excited to support this Hunger Tech Challenge because of this amazing work that has come out of it. Being able to work alongside these innovators, support these innovative ideas, and really see these things thrive. It has been an awesome experience and has been a great, great privilege of ours to support this work.
We're grateful for the support. And I think, Kofi, when you look at the future, we often talk about what's ahead and what's coming. We've talked about it even as food as health, food as medicine. It's coalitions. It's connections between nonprofit, health insurers, food companies, farmers, this whole network to ultimately solve what you saw bedside. Right? How do we take care of those people? And it's so clear when you look at young people. They don't have a voice. They need a voice. They need someone to help. And you have put yourself in that gap. I can't thank you enough. I want to hit one more question, and I know we're running out of time, but I think this is an important one. Maybe the most important one we talk about is measurement. So we can do a lot of things in food as medicine. We can do a lot of things in nutrition, but how do you know if we're actually making a difference? How do you measure food as medicine, food as health at Elevance Health?
You mentioned a lot of great names that are involved in this process and that we need to collaborate with. We cannot also forget about the individuals, the families, persons, right? And that's a core piece in the work that we're doing. You know, it goes back to kind of the question you asked earlier. And when I think about measuring outcomes and measuring outcomes effectively, again, it starts with the individual, starts with the member, starts with the patient, starts with the family. For me, you got to look at health outcomes, right? We have to look at things like hemoglobin A1Cs, right? What's happening with diabetes measures and hypertension, right? We're looking at numbers, right? We're going to be looking at labs. We're going to be looking at some of these simple health outcomes. And this is a really easy way to look at this, but this is just one of the many ways that we can look at this as well. We talked about cost of care as something we can look at as well, right? We want to make sure that hospitalizations decrease, rehospitalizations, ER visits. These are things that we can easily see. Engagement in healthcare system. We want to see improvement in visits. We know that going to your primary care clinician works. It's effective. We want to make sure that you're able to get there. You're able to get the resources you need to get there. You're able to take the medicines that you need, right? Medication adherence, the meds that you need to be able to improve your health outcomes. We know that are important to you. But sometimes when you're struggling with things like hunger, nutrition insecurity and food insecurity in particular, it decreases one's cognitive bandwidth. The ability to shift and focus on many things becomes hindered. The ability to pick between food, heat, and eating is significant. The ability to pick between medications and eating is significant. What if that process became easier so that you can choose the foods that are culturally sound, that tastes great and just happen to be good for you, and it can improve your health outcomes and also gives you the cognitive bandwidth to then be able to have the power to support yourself and your family by accessing the medications you need, by accessing the resources and the care you need, getting to the eye doctor appointments and all these things as well. These are incredibly important things that we're measuring, that we're looking into as well. And we want to make sure that these are some of the things that we look into. The list goes on and on, but these are some of the measures that I think we should start off with thinking about. I think 2.0 of food as medicine is also going to be thinking about sustainability and regeneration and all these other areas as well. And 1.0 is also thinking about equity more and more as well. How can we get equitable access of good, nutritious foods to members across the board, no matter where you live, no matter your background? These are incredibly important things that we think about to improve health outcomes, reducing costs of care.
He is Dr. Kofi Essel, Director of Food as Medicine at Elevance Health. Kofi, it has just been a delight to spend time with you today. Thanks for investing the time.
Thank you all for having us. It's been our pleasure. We look forward to joining you all in the future.
And we look forward to seeing you in the future as well. Thanks so much for tuning into Ag Bioscience. As always, you can get the latest Ag Bioscience news online at agrinovusindiana.com. And now we can see it on YouTube. So check us out on YouTube as well. And don't forget, if you are in the Indiana area, you are welcome to join us. You can find out where we'll be on the road at agrinovusindiana.com/quadrant. On behalf of the entire Agrinovus team, I'm Mitch Frazier, saying thanks for listening. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, hosted by Mitch Frazier, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovusindiana.com.